Now the third week of our series on the Ten Commandments. Some of this morning's reading ought to start sounding familiar. We're again in Exodus 20, reading through the seventh verse. God spoke all these words. I'm the Lord your God who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol, whether in the form of anything in heaven or on the earth or beneath the earth in the waters. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third or fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, I can't help but wonder if a few of us might be feeling like Jim's old trumpet. Our faith was once shiny and new, capable of beautiful music, but through the years it was scratched and dinged and stuck in a few places. Were it as easy to restore souls, O God, as it is things? Because we cannot do it, send to us your Holy Spirit. Help us hear you. Renew our hearts and our faith. Help us follow you. And help us live in the name of Christ. For it's in that name we pray. Amen. So historically, this commandment, number 3 for us in our tradition as Protestants, number 2 in the tradition of the Catholics and Lutherans, has been about cursing or swearing using God's name or some version of God's name. For Christians, it has included the words Jesus and Christ in all of their variations, including the one very mysterious one in which his middle initial is H. I don't know how we got that one. If that's true, if we read the commandment this way, this is probably, without much discussion, the most widely and the most often broken commandment of the Ten. It's also the only one that has spawned an entire alternate vocabulary. Words like gall, gosh, dang it, darn it, dumb it, and the ever popular gah all exist to keep people from technically breaking the commandment. Though some aren't swayed by the technicality. When I was a student at Northwestern, I had a teammate that during one particular drill had messed up on a repetition of the drill, and he had yelled out, cheese and rice. Well, a commandment-keeping coach who was close enough to hear him got in his face really quickly and tore him up. And when my teammate explained that he hadn't cursed and told him what he said, the angry coach stomped off to the words, I don't care. It's still close enough to count. Well, our angry outbursts at sporting events, golf courses, job sites, offices, wherever, probably do count, technically, as breaking the commandment. But there's a lot more here. This isn't about just simply swearing with the wrong words or slightly less wrong substitutions of the wrong words. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So reads the old translation. The newer version says you shall not misuse or make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. The Hebrew word for vain has the sense of deceit, emptiness. It means falsehood. To use God's name in vain, historically, has been taken to mean everything from cursing, taking oaths in God's name, swearing by God that something is true, false preaching, false doctrine, assuming that we have the authority to tell God what or who to damn, and in one interesting sermon written by John Calvin, complaining about the weather, and thereby grumbling about what God has done. Now, I'm not 100% convinced that disliking the weather is breaking the third commandment. Calvin probably goes a little far there. But this commandment might be bigger than some of us thought. And the incredible starting point of the conversation, the thing that shouldn't be missed, is that it begins with the name of God. The remarkable truth is that God is not content simply to be God. God desires to be our God, to be your God. Not just the God of our parents, our church, our family, our denomination. God's desire is to be our God. God has given us His name, has labeled us with it. This is particularly true of those who call ourselves Christian. And we hope to live into the name of Christ. We have been claimed by a God. Not a God far off and distant. Not a God unknown to us. A God who is called by name and invites us to relationship. Yahweh, I am. Jesus, God saved. And this incredible gift comes with incredible responsibility. We are to wear God's name appropriately. We are to speak it and to represent it faithfully. We are to speak truth and confront falsehood as those who know God in Christ. And whenever we live out a lie, whenever we live something false to the faith, we misuse God's name. We take Christ's name in vain. In emptiness, in falsehood. When we want the benefit of God without the responsibilities. When we have expectations of God. Whenever we want grace without repentance. Love without justice. We misuse God's name. When we avoid the hard parts of faith, but we want to appear faithful to others. We take the holy name in vain, in emptiness. And when we accept lies for truth, because they comfort us and allow us to have our way, we trade the name of God for an idol of our choosing. We trade the truth of Christ for the lies of the world. When we treat the church as ours or settle for less than the truth of God, we make wrongful use of God's name. Stanley Hauerwas and Will Willimon, writing on the third commandment, say, it is blasphemy when we make God a part of our lives and drag God's good name through the mud of our sin. In some sense, the history of the Ten Commandments has been that God gave them, and immediately we got busy trying to make them as small and manageable as possible. And like so many of the Ten Commandments, we boil this third one down to its smallest meaning, thinking we can let ourselves off the hook if we don't yell out the wrong words when we're mad, if we don't curse someone in God's name, if we find other ways to say what we'd really like to say. And even then, we most often just look the other way when we break the commandment. But what if instead of simply not using our faith language as a curse, this commandment is bigger? What if this commandment is really about the ways in which we misrepresent God, misrepresent God's name and what God has done? What if wrongful use is anything we say or do that discredits God? that empties God's name of its power and grace and makes it just a word rather than the name of the holy God who has saved us. Sure, the commandment means leave God's name out of your angry rants and your outbursts. It does mean that. But it also means include God's name in everything else. Live under God's name in a way that honors and never dishonors Him. Do not misuse the name of the Lord, because that's the name that He gave in order to save you. Martin Luther once translated this commandment, "You shall not go about with the name of God as though it made no difference." You shall not go about with the name of God as though it made no difference. Do you hear that? We read that you shall not use God's name in vain. Luther suggests that we shall not live like God's name is vain, empty, meaningless. We shall not treat God as if God doesn't matter. Yes, in how we speak, but more in all that we do. The Lord will not tolerate misusing His name. The third commandment is one of two that come with a threat. Now, a few might be here this morning exploring this thing called Christianity. Maybe you're new to the faith. Maybe you don't consider yourself yet in the faith. Most of us, though, are here because we claim the name Christ and claim to follow Him. To us, the question of the commandment is very simple. How do I wear the name Jesus? Do I wear His name like it is above all names and matters above all else? Or like something I can put on and take off when it suits me? Do I wear the name of Christ like it makes a difference in every aspect of my life? Or like I can simply remove it in the places I choose not to be obedient? Do I think I can lift God's name in praise in this place, but then shout it out in curse in some other place? Do I think I can take the name of the Savior here, but use it there to curse when I'm angry? But do I also think that I can claim one thing in here and then out there misrepresent the living God who gave me His name and His Son whenever I don't want to follow? Do I also think I can simply go my own direction when I don't like His? Friends, often we do just that. And when we do, we misuse the name of the Lord our God. We do it in vain. We also do it vainly, by the way, arrogantly. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not wear the name above all other names like it makes no difference. You shall not be the people of Christ who don't glorify the name Christ in all that they say and do. You will not wear the name above every name as if it doesn't matter. May the God of His great power, love, and mercy make it so among His people that His name and His name alone be glorified in us. Amen.